There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Literary moment, milestones in literary history.
I'm going to keep it brief because we have a lot to talk about, but today's literary moment is ironically brief considering the output of the author it's about. So Charles Dickens' birthday was this week, and I made an interesting series of discoveries about authors and their day jobs. Now, it turns out that Charles Dickens was sent to work at a shoe polish factory when he was just 12 years old. Did you know about this?
I knew he worked in a factory because I know that's where he got ideas for lots of his characters and so on, and the conditions under which people laboured. But I didn't know it was a shoe polish factory. Bet there aren't so many of those anymore.
Yeah. There you go. Interesting thought from Talking of Books. How many shoe polish factories are there? So there you go. Oliver Twist and Hard Times, probably inspired by those working conditions. So that's your literary moment for the week. Are you a Dickens fan, Yvette?
I haven't read Dickens for a long time, but I certainly used to be. I loved Dickens when I was a teenager, and I read quite a lot. I certainly have not read them all, but in the past I've certainly read a lot of his stuff, and I do like Great Expectations. That's probably my favourite.
That makes one of us. So if you have a favourite Dickens novel, text it. Sorry, I'm not a Dickens fan. Text it to 4001. I know it's... I'm going to move on before I get shouted
sorry,
at.
I'm going to have lie down in the corner.
Young minds, big ideas.
I'm just moving swiftly along there before I get attacked. We're not alone in the studio, are we, Yvette?
No, thankfully Louise is here to mediate, and we're on opposite sides.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show, Louise. You're no stranger to Talking of Books. It's the first time that I've met you, though. For any new listeners, would you mind just introducing yourself and telling us why you love picture books so much?
Oh, I'd love to. So I'm Louise Edensor. I'm a senior lecturer at Middlesex University, and one of the things I have the pleasure of teaching is children's literature. So I teach students who are studying our early years programme, and one of the modules they do is children's literature. So I'm absolutely delighted to be here today to look again at some picture books.
It's your favourite segment, isn't
it? Yeah, apart from Dickens, obviously.
Oh my goodness, I'm never going to love this now. Is there anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to, Louise? Because guests get to do that on the Young Reviewer segment.
You should have given me notice of that. I'll have to think of someone. Do you know what? I'm going to give a shout out to Daniela Tully, who I hosted a book launch for her today, this week at the university. So I'd just like to give a shout out for her book, The Hotel on Shadow Lake.
Well done, Daniela.
Yeah, well done. So let's get cracking. The first author that we're going to talk about is Baroness Floella Benjamin. And for the sake of my generation, would you mind introducing her?
Shocking.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Shocking.
I'm not sure I can continue for 3 hours with Annabelle.
Insulted on the
That's
radio
all right.
first thing
we'll
in the morning.
We'll get someone
Goodness
else.
Me.
Oh, Annabelle, Charles Dickens, Floella. Okay. Floella for me is... It started in 1964, apparently, Play School, UK TV programme. And I think it's fair to say it probably revolutionised children's TV at the time. Now, yes. I was not a toddler at that point. I have to confess, I may have been about five.
I'm just going to interject and say that I watched it in colour. Can I just establish that when I watched it, it was in colour?
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, I was watching it in black and white. But the programme... has just lived on in terms of the phrases they used. So basically, you have three presenters. Floella was one of them.
Brian Cant.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Iconic programme. And they used to do a sort of little adventure through a window.
Yes.
And you had to guess each programme. Was it through the round window?
Oh, I can still remember the toys. Can you remember the toys?
I can. Humble, the doll.
Yeah, and there was Jemima.
Jemima, the other doll.
Big Ted and Little Ted.
Yeah.
And Humpty
and
Dumpty.
Yeah. So you see what an impact it had.
I feel like I've been put in a little millennial naughty corner with a dunce hat on.
So can I just say, in case you haven't realised, I am mildly excited to meet Floella at the festival this year.
Oh. What do you want to ask her when she gets here?
I won't be able to ask her anything. I'm going to have a complete fangirl moment and just gaze at her in adoration.
So,
and maybe ask if I could have just a little hug.
So she's your fangirl moment?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you got one or many?
I can't tell you. Oh, well, many, but some of them I've met before and got over my fangirl moment. So Jacqueline Wilson, I've had my fangirl
Richard
moment
and
with
Judy.
Her. Richard and Judy had my fangirl moment with them. So this year, I think actually Floella will be my... fangirl moment,
but I think you can curtsy, can't you? I think you're allowed
because she's Baroness.
Because she's Baroness.
Yeah, so
I think you can curtsy and everything.
Yeah. But of course, I'll just smile sweetly and, hi, lovely to see you.
Now, because I'm feeling a little bit left out of the Floella memory here, I've been mentioning Floella to various people, and much like you, when they talk about her, I mean, it initially went straight over my head. I didn't realise how much she was loved by everybody. Mm. And if you tell anyone who grew up with Play School, this look comes over people as if they're remembering one of their best friends from childhood, and it's really lovely. Mm. So I actually found a little clip of Floella talking about this, and it's utterly wonderful.
Baroness Floella Benjamin was born in Trinidad and came to England as a 10-year-old in 1960. She left school at 16 with the aim of becoming Britain's first ever black woman bank manager, but soon realized that her passion, her true passion, was for the arts. Her subsequent career included acting, broadcasting, entrepreneurship, writing, and eventually sitting in Britain's House of Lords. She is an active advocate for the welfare, care, and education of children throughout the world. She has written over 30 books, including Coming to England, which is taught in schools in social and cross-curricular areas. Its follow-up, The Arms of Britannia, was published in 2009 together with her picture book, My Two Granddads. Coming to England was adapted as an award-winning film.
Brief technical difficulties in the studio there. That was a little bit of information about Floella Benjamin, but here she is talking about why she still gets this amazing reaction from her Play School babies.
Normal reaction that you get everywhere you go?
Everywhere I go, people tell me that they're my Play School babies. Because, you know, I started children's programs 40 years ago. And when I started the program, I didn't realize the importance of me being on a screen for children, looking down the camera lens and speaking to that one person. When I meet so many people on the street, they write me letters, in a restaurant, they say, when I was little, I knew I had someone in the world who loved me, and that was you, because of the way you said, hello.
Okay, I got quite
emotional.
But that's just so true. I can remember the time it was on. I can remember sitting watching it. And I was not a little child then by any means. But the programme went on and on with the odd different presenter. But I think the toys stayed constant. And yet it did move into colour, Louise. I'm quite sure.
Yes. Technicolour. I can confirm that it was in colour. So I know what colour Humpty Dumpty was.
See, I actually, you know what? It's quite scary because I've just realised that I do pitch them in black and white. Oh yeah, my goodness, how old am I? That makes me about 130. Anyway, moving
swiftly
on.
No comment to make on that.
Because Floella has got this wonderful book coming to England, which is one of the things she's going to be talking about at the festival on the 2nd of March at 2 o'clock. So Coming to England chronicles her arrival as, I think, a 10-year-old, arriving from Trinidad. Dad had gone first. Dad wanted to be a jazz player. Mum followed, taking two of the children, leaving two behind. The others all went, and they ended up, and I always have this, how on earth do you go from somewhere where you're outside, you've got a happy home in Trinidad, to living in one room in London, and how incredibly hard her parents worked to actually make the changes in their lives that they wanted to, but also the incredible racist attitudes that were prevalent at the time. And it always takes me back to being brought up in Birmingham, where there were a lot of people from Jamaica there, and similar problems. And I can remember the very first time that I actually encountered something that was potentially racist. There was a little girl at my school. She was black. She was walking down the road in front of me and my mum. She was on her own. She fell over, and three sets of families walked round her, and my mum obviously picked her up and, are you okay? And I just said afterwards, why did they all ignore her? And mum said, because she looks different. And that for me was the very first time that it occurred to me that you might treat somebody differently because of the colour of their skin. So I did find the book quite emotional, quite shocking actually, and brilliant. But I think coming to see her at the festival, and it's a family event, because I think she's just going to make it such fun. So all that Play School generation, the Play School babies, get there. You will love it.
Very briefly, your thoughts on this as well, Louise, before we have to
I think it's a lovely book. I mean, it's In the same sort of vein as the Andrea Levy's books, that, you know, they're all about people leaving the Caribbean and coming to England, but this one's such a gentle, matter-of-fact story. It's far more gentle than Andrea Levy's books. It's, you know, it's aimed at, I'm not sure what age group it's aimed at, but you were saying, Yvette, that it's on the school syllabus.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm thinking probably sort of 12 or 13-year-olds are reading it.
And the session is for anybody 9 and up, so...
Absolutely.
It's beautifully illustrated. The illustrations are incredible. Oh, this is a lovely edition, this book, it's beautiful.
Michael Frith has done the illustrations, and well done, Michael, because they're stunning. So, Floella, looking forward to Floella Benjamin at the festival, and moving swiftly on to another part of my childhood. Oh, the tiger who came to tea. Oh, Judith Kerr, so excited that we will be having a live video link with Judith Kerr, and that we are still making the arrangements for the tiger to be able to be with us, and obviously transporting
an actual tiger.
Well, it's the tiger who came to tea, tiger, Annabelle. There is only an actual tiger. There is only one tiger in the book, and it's the one who came to tea. So we, for anyone who doesn't know the book, Sophie's at home with her mum, and a tiger rings the doorbell and rocks up and basically eats everything. So we must make sure that the Intercon has enough food in, because it will be pretty awful if everything went into that tiger's tummy and the authors and visitors didn't get a chance to eat anything. Louise, are you familiar with the tiger who came to tea?
I am. I bought it for the children when they were little, and I can just remember where he drinks all of the water out of the taps.
He does indeed.
He does,
amongst
he?
Other things that
he does.
Drinks.
Yeah, yes.
And eats. And then my only, I suppose, looking back at it with slightly cynical eyes, is that at the end of it, it's Daddy who comes home and rescues the whole thing. So Mummy's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We have no food left. And Daddy comes in and says, I know, let's all go to a cafe. That's the only bit of the book that now I think, oh, come on, Mum, get your act together.
The bit that frustrates me is that if I'd have been Sophie, I would not have let him get that far with the kitchen cupboards and the fridge. I'd be like, right, no, that's my food, you can leave now.
Yeah, it was a tiger, remember? There may have been an element of
fear. I could have handled it.
Very, very friendly, smiley tiger. Mm. And then at the end, they go and buy a big tin of tiger food in case the tiger came back.
Librarian Mary Rose Grieve actually got in touch with me because she heard that we were going to be talking about the tiger who came to tea, and she was really excited. And she shared something that, if you can check out, I'm not going to read out in full because it's quite long, but somebody called Simon Barnes wrote a really lovely piece about the tiger who came to tea in the Times in 2009. And one little bit that I want to bring up is this. So he says, the tiger is supremely naughty, wild, utterly beyond taming. He comes into our homes because we need him. Grown-ups think that they have outgrown him, but they are wrong. And I thought that was a really lovely thought.
Absolutely. And that is such an important element of children's picture books, that you are allowed to be scared. It's inviting children to actually enjoy the thrill of being scared, to accept that scary things might happen, but ultimately you've got that loving end to it.
I think it also speaks to the idea that as adults we still enjoy picture books. You know, we can still escape to our childhood. I love picture books. I've kept a lot of the picture books. My children are now teenagers, but every now and again when we're a bit fed up,
yeah,
you get the books out and we sit and we read the picture books, because it's that escape back to your childhood and being allowed to be a child again.
And
I think that's one of the things he's talking about.
Yeah. Going back to what you said about being allowed to be scared as well, that brings us very nicely onto another picture book that we've got to talk about, called The Wolf, the Duck and the Mouse. By who?
By John, well, illustrated by John Classen, written by Matt Barnett, and not quite so old as the tiger who came to tea, which is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year, which is a scary thought. But The Wolf, the Duck and the Mouse is very, very new, and beautifully, beautifully illustrated in John Classen's wonderful way. Another author who's, I think, going to be popping up by video link.
Yeah, got all the video links.
Well, yeah, so because he's unable to travel, but he did a quick video link for us in 2017, and we're bringing him back. But I'm just holding up the pictures to the microphone so that you can see them, because there are a few that are my...
yes, we understand how radio works in the studio this morning.
you've got the top technical team here, trust me.
Theatre of the mind, Yvette, theatre of the mind.
Absolutely. Well, I could describe it, but I'm not sure quite how much we've got. But for me, John Classen's absolute talent is that with a carefully positioned eye on an animal, he can express A Million and One Emotions. Somebody who can barely draw a stick figure, I am in awe of him. Incredibly simple in appearance, incredibly sophisticated in execution.
He actually shared all his top tips about how he did this in the session that he did last time for the children, and they were just engrossed because he was going through how if you change the eye line of the animals, it completely changed whether they were feeling confused, annoyed, or if they looked slightly shifty as well, which is very cool. But the wolf, the duck and the mouse, who are these creatures and what are they doing?
Louise.
Well, it's, you know, when you look at new picture books, you think, what new is there to, you know, what is there to say that's new? And this is just a different take on stories of wolves. So the wolf swallows a little mouse, and when the mouse goes into his tummy, he meets a duck who's already there in
and
bed.
The duck is in bed.
He's in bed, and the duck invites him to
with
tea.
A candle.
And they sit at a table with a tablecloth.
Yeah, which is my favourite picture.
And you are wondering where the tablecloth's come from, but anyway, we'll overlook that for now. And they have dinner, and this sort of goes on for a little while, and they have a little party, and they have a little dance, and this makes the wolf feel rather poorly. So,
as you can imagine, if you had a party going on in your tummy.
Indeed, and I don't want to tell you all of the story because it will spoil the ending. But the story goes on, and they live inside the wolf, and they encounter the farmer, who obviously he wants to kill the wolf, and they get involved in that process. And let's just say it all ends very, very well.
Again, it's that nice safe space at the end of the picture.
It is indeed.
It's the permission to be scared, and know that all will be well.
One thing that I really liked was when the wolf is feeling really, really poorly, and they use it as a way of getting more stuff from the outside world. So they say that you will be cured if you swallow some candles and some food, and they just sit down and they eat at a lovely table, don't they?
They do.
You do, and you realise where the tablecloths come from.
Yeah. Well, moving on to a slightly different picture book, what's the next one that we've got on our list to have a look at?
Leafy,
yeah, Leafy the pet leaf, and by a joyous combination of illustrator and author.
This is lovely and colourful. I like these drawings. They're so colourful and very beautiful, and it's such an endearing story. I don't remember ever being able to take a pet into school. It's pet day.
Oh, yeah, pet day.
But
yeah.
It's pet day for their adventure club. It's not school, is it? Their adventure club. Mm-hmm. So this is about children who are a member of a little adventure club. And today, you've got to bring your pet into school. And one of the characters wants to bring his cat, who, of course, is demonstrably absent. So he has to improvise. And so he picks up a leaf and he draws a face on the leaf and he takes the leaf to the adventure club.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely perfect.
And it transpires that the leaf is the best pet out of all of them.
The most obedient, certainly.
It is indeed. And the most versatile, because they do all sorts of different things. And the leaf is the one that's able to do the most. And so at the end of the story, they decide that all of the children should decorate a leaf. And that's what they do. What a lovely activity to do at school, though, if you were using this book.
And like with any good picture book as well, there's something in it there for the grown-ups reading it to the children as well. Mm. So I like the attention to detail. So on one of the pages, you've got in the corner, you almost miss it. There's a worm there and a little bug. And the worm says to the little bug, going somewhere nice? And the bug says, oh, just visiting friends.
And Louise, is that one in the Little Adventurer series? Is that the same series as,
oh, I don't
as
know.
The book I've got? It is indeed. So I've got,
is it?
What bear? Where? In front of me, which, and again, Philip Ardar, Alyssa Elwick will be at the festival doing all sorts of things, not just doing little adventurous stories, but in fact, I'm not sure Philip's actually getting any sleep while he's with us.
No, pretty much not.
He's doing Moomins, he's doing this, he's doing Eddie Dickens.
But I have a theory.
Oh, go on.
I have a theory that Philip has more energy than anybody else because I think that his beard holds actual superpowers.
You may be right. If you haven't seen Philip's beard, do have a look at our website, emirateslitfest.com, and find Philip Ardar and his amazing beard. And Alyssa's doing some workshops as well, which I think will be great fun. So that's a fantastic combination. Philip Ardar, Alyssa Elwick, and little adventurous stories.
What age would this be for, this event and this book?
I reckon if I actually had a three-year-old, I'd take them. You'd probably say four in the programme. But
I think you can go up quite high. But, you know, I like the little stamps in the corner of the page. It's very much about learning, isn't it? That it, on each page, they learn something different about the pets. And at the top of the page, they get a stamp. It's a bit like going to Brownies, isn't it, where you get your badge.
It's lovely.
And if you read this in a classroom, you can see the whole making your own leaf activity coming in really naturally.
All sorts of activities.
So I reckon up to about age eight would enjoy
this. Yes, I would think so.
What is it about Leafy that makes him such a great pet? Because when you first look at this book, you're thinking, no way. No way can a leaf be a pet. But then again, how did Rox ever become a pet, I suppose?
This is true.
They just do all sorts of activity, and Leafy gets involved because he can do all sorts of different things. So he makes the perfect pirate eye patch. One of the little girls has him over her eye because she's pretending to be a pirate, and they go on and do all sorts of different activities. He becomes a great police badge, for example. So they do all sorts of activities where the leaf triumphs. And so this becomes the new thing to do in the adventure club, is to take your leaf in.
That's a truly imaginative book, and great for encouraging children.
And learning, learning lots and lots about pets and where they come
nature,
from. And it's got sort of animal facts in the back. So it's for the older, we were talking about up to age eight, older children who can read would find this just as interesting as a child who is pre-literate, because there's lots of information at the back of the book.
Go on, give us one fact from your book, Louise, and I'll give one from mine.
Mine says all about mice. A mouse's tail is as long as its body. I didn't know that.
Really?
That's what it says.
It must be true if it's in the book.
It must be true.
I've got a snake fact. Snakes smell with their tongue.
There you go. So snakes smell with their tongue, and a mouse's tail is as long as the rest of its body.
There we go.
So can you just recap, because we've talked about quite a few picture books and lovely authors today, can you recap what we've spoken about, Yvette?
I think we have spoken about Floella Benjamin, who will be coming along, not a picture book author necessarily, although she has done one, but talking about her adventures when she arrived in England, and also connecting with that play school generation. We've talked about John Classen, who's got the amazing Wolf, Duck and the Mouse book that he's illustrated, written by Matt Barnett. And we have talked about Little Adventurers with Philip Ardart and Alyssa Elwick. But there are so many more things for children. And do you know what my favourite is, actually?
What's your favourite?
Have I got time?
What's your favourite?
Julius Zebra. Okay, Julius is a Roman centurion zebra. And
as, you know, casually.
Absolutely. They were all over the place. You may, if your children are doing Romans at school or anything like that, do take them to see Julius Zebra. He'll be at the festival.
It's kind of like the Horrible History style, isn't it? So you've got story, but you've got lots of interesting facts about Roman times in there as well.
Gary Northfield has written those. It's wonderful.
Okay, well, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for coming in, Louise. It was
You're most welcome.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.